Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kill, Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
Give it to you how you want it in the 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with them topics, sort of like some rebels. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing on prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war ain't Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys.
All right, it's Thursday, December 29th, 2011, and we are with you for our last 2 hours of the year. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm at the round table with the analysts, Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, and B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander. We hope you all had a great Christmas, if you celebrate, of course. We got a great rundown for you tonight, out with the old and with the new. What better way to put a bow on a completed year than to recap the biggest stories from it? So what was your favorite sports story of 2011? We want to hear from you guys tonight, so get in that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call us on the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012 and let your voice be heard. Quick shout out to our Philly radio brethren, Roy and Chris of the Broad Street Line. Check out their show on their new day and time of Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you haven't signed our joint petition to bring back Big Shot to the Philadelphia 76ers, please get through our website and do so. We look forward to more collaborations with the Broad Street Line in 2012, so stay tuned. But now, it's birthday time.
It's my birthday! Yay!
Fellas, what's going on? How was your holiday?
Holiday was cool, restful, relaxing.
Yeah, now it's time to get to work. Time to get to work. So our first birthday today is one, Mr. Theo Nathan Epstein. He turns 38 today.
Yay!
Jimmy, what do you think of when you think of Theo Epstein?
I automatically go to think about the Red Sox, even though he's no longer there. He's like synonymous with the Red Sox for me. And, you know, he had a little success there, and he's like living a dream in terms of being able to run a franchise. He's basically playing fantasy in real life.
And he's only 38 years old. So back when he was having all of his success, winning trophies for a team who hadn't won trophies since the start of Western civilization, this dude was just young, just living it up. I'm wondering how many women Theo Epstein get on a daily basis. Kill, what do you think of when you think of Theo Epstein?
I think of, like, one of the youngest general managers, I guess, ever to do it. And, I mean, like you say, he's only 38, and he's won two World Series titles to a team that hadn't won in, like, hundreds of years. And now I remember he quit. Y'all remember when he quit? And then he was about to retire or go somewhere else, and then somehow they talked him back into staying. And then now he just took a nice job over with the Cubs. So, honestly, when I think of him, I kind of get upset because I'm like, hold up. Dude is, like, 4 years older than me, than most of us. And I'm like, yo, if he could do that, I could do that. You know what I mean?
No, like, he making it big like that, and we just talking about him making it big. Also, Theo Epstein.
Yo, first thing I think of is the boy Capo from How to Make It in America. Young Jewish and killing it. Much respect to Theo Epstein.
Yo, man, you know they canceled the show, right?
Yeah,
no,
man.
I didn't know that.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
they canceled the show, man. That's
yo,
go
man,
ahead,
HBO
my bad, man. We'll talk about that later.
HBO cut us the check, man. We can get it back. Numbers will go up.
That
ain't got nothing to do with sports or the Red Sox, but you remind me of Capo.
All right, so our next birthday is one Patrick Sean Payton. You know him better as Sean Payton. He turns 48 today.
It's my birthday. Yay!
Kill. What do you think of Sean Payton?
I think of the guy who should be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys because, as you all know, He was helping with our offense while Parcells was here, and he's definitely a better coach than Wade Phillips, and I think he's definitely a better coach than Jason Garrett at this point in their careers. And, yeah, I just wish he was running our offense. So there you go.
Austin, Sean Payton.
You know, I think of a great offensive mind coupled with, you know, the tremendous success Drew Brees has had, but I'm also going to piggyback off of Kill's statement and really take the time to thank Jerry Jones for being the egotistical megalomaniac that he is, because everything good that Parcells has done, he is undone, and I appreciate him for it as being a fan of a division rival. So shout
hey,
out
Brad.
To Austin. Happy birthday.
Hey, Brad. Brad, another thing I forgot to add. He was the guy who basically picked Tony Romo and helped develop Tony Romo while he was with the Cowboys. So,
of course he was. I believe that.
Jimmy,
I believe
Sean
you.
Payton, Jimmy. When I think of Sean Payton, I think of a great offensive mind, and I can't help but to think about him on the crutches this past season when he got hurt during the game.
Think
that
about
was crazy,
the dude on
right?
crutches. Yeah, that man, there's been a lot of coaches getting hurt on the sideline lately.
I know,
but
it's getting real out there.
Sean Payton might be in line for another run at a Super Bowl the way his quarterback and his offense is playing. We'll see how that plays out. So we want to give a RIP shout out to one Mr. Raymond Ernest Nitschke, better known as Ray Nitschke. He was born December 29th, 1936, died March 8th, 1998. Austin, you got any memories of
My
Ray
birthday.
Nitschke?
Yay!
When Ray Nitschke was on the football field and you had the ball, he tried to hit that little area that was behind you. That's what he was trying to reach. He was trying to hit that space that's behind you. That's what, and I'm inspired by that type of play. So, you know, rest
I would in peace. I would imagine that with all the new rules with hitting and not being able to hit, I would assume that Ray Nitschke is probably rolling over in his grave.
So,
as Charles Barkley would say, but he usually says it about people who are still alive. But I think Ray Nitschke probably really is rolling over in his grave.
They're disrespecting his memory, man. They're disrespecting his memory.
Jimmy, Ray Nitschke.
Yo, when I think of Ray Nitschke, I think of ambulances and, just hard hits and football as it once was. And anytime you see any kind of highlights of Ray Nitschke, you see, like, ambulances standing by.
You see him standing over dudes with no teeth and...
Yeah,
yeah,
it was like,
all over
the
uniform. Yeah, that's what football was.
He's the type of dude that even if you love football and you were playing on offense and he hit you and it hurt, you would want to cry, but first you would get up and shake his hand and you would just leave the field. You just leave.
That was back in them days where you just had to, like, dudes weren't lifting a whole bunch of weights. This and you just had to be a man to play football. And it ain't a lot of men left. It's a lot of athletes.
Not
so you had to be 40.
You had to be 40 to play football. Kill, Ray Nitschke.
Yo, I think of those old NFL films and just looking at the Green Bay Packers, whether it be the Ice Bowl and them winning the Super Bowls early on and him just, like I said, running through people. He probably would have been fined every week if he was playing in today's game. And just imagine him at linebacker, and we had Herb Adderley in the secondary. No wonder they was wrecking shop along with Bart Starr. So
that's what's up. So our last birthday today is Mr. Harry Wayne Huizenga, better known as Wayne Huizenga. He turned 72 today.
My birthday, yay!
Kill, what's your thoughts on Wayne Huizenga?
Wayne Huizenga, just know that he's a owner in sports, and I forgot exactly what he does, but, you know, I know he's a very wealthy man, and shout out to him.
Yeah, he used to own the Dolphins. I think he started Blockbuster, and there was another big company that was his.
Yeah, actually, I remember Wayne Huizenga from business school, like studying, having case studies of him in business school. Dude had, like, three successful companies that he started. One was Blockbuster. Waste management and
waste management
one was the auto company, Auto Nation or something. Like, dude, literally started three, like, you know, huge companies. So put a lot of people to work.
And then the Dolphins. So.
Then the Dolphins. Then the
very successful business.
Florida Panthers and the Marlins too.
Yeah, yeah. He owned every team in Florida. I guess he got tired of not having fans, so he had to hang that up. But Austin, what's your thoughts on Wayne Huizenga?
Man, whenever you bring that name up with me, I just think success. Just one word, man, just success. Dude was successful.
That's the type
of
dude management. You want to pick his brain and, see what's up business for him.
Waste management actually pops into my head because waste management is such a successful enterprise, and they go around and they kind of follow the mantra of just, get down or lay down, and whatever market they come into, they're taking the trash business. And
they're taking
that.
The trash business like thug. The thug trash.
They just buy you.
Well, the birthdays, as usual, were brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon in Fort Washington, Maryland. Go to our website, to our sponsors and partners page, and click on the logo to get to their website and get that information. So now Jimmy's going to tell everybody what happened this holiday week while y'all were on the grind.
Absolutely. While You Were On the Grind is brought to you by PhillyAutoDesign.com. You can use them to get any kind of accessories you need for your vehicle. You can go to PhillyAutoDesign.com or look on our website at WarhamSports.com to get more information. Now, first story I want to bring up is, did you guys see the Oklahoma City Thunder game last night when Durant and Westbrook had to be separated?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a big to-do about that. You know, it actually started with Cephalosha because Westbrook gave him a nice pass in the corner, and he passed up the open three, so Westbrook started yelling at him to shoot the effing ball, and then it spilled over to the timeout.
I think that this is much to do about nothing. I think that, he and Durant are kind of like brothers, and a basketball team in some instances kind of like a family, and you argue with your brothers. I mean, we've gotten into arguments. The war room has gotten into arguments. It happens. And
I agree with that,
in this day and age of everybody being a part of the media, anyone with a Twitter account is now a reporter. We make a big deal out of things because we want things to be newsworthy. First of all, Thabo Cephalosha, the ball was swung to you. Shoot the GD ball.
They're talking about it right now on ESPN2.
Well, they trash better. Listen real quick to Austin. I agree with you that you have arguments at times, but you don't think it's anything more to this, considering there were talks about them having beef last year in the playoffs. And another point is Stephon Marbury and KG also called themselves brothers.
Yo, Jimmy, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I hope Westbrook don't turn out to be Stephon, and I guess when his contract is up, like, yo, I'm out of here or trade me because, KD gets too much shine. I hope it doesn't turn out like that.
Because Steph and KG could have had something special.
Yeah, they could have.
The difference in that situation is because outside of Durant and Harden, who else on that team can score?
Kendrick Perkins.
Paul Leonard.
True.
Eric Maynard.
My bad.
I'm not really counting Eric Maynard as a serious scorer.
I know because I
assume when Austin asked the question, he probably meant serious. Like Eric Maynard
can
get your buckets here and there, but
like people
I don't think anybody's worried about Eric Maynard
people,
getting too many buckets.
People make this big deal about Westbrook being a gun, and I agree that he is a bit of a gun, but remember, he's not coming into this as a point guard, so his first real serious stint as a point guard is in the NBA, so there's got to be a learning curve there, and further, they need him to score because you are not getting points from anyone on that roster except for Durant and the Beard. Beards is in the building. Shout out to Jack Frost. But anyway, you're not getting any buckets from anyone. But those three carry 85 to 90% of the scoring load. So you need him to score.
Good point.
Yeah, I mean he is a little erratic at times, and I could kind of see how playing with him could get frustrating at times. especially when you're on like a John Starks roll and you won't stop shooting. So, you know, I can see that, but I agree with Austin. Like, you know, I think those are the type of arguments they're going to have. And I think that argument stemmed more from Durant being the team captain, being the leader that he is, basically telling him, okay, it's over. You don't have to keep screaming at Thabo like this. I don't really think that was between those two guys. I think Durant
was just stepping in, being the
leader.
Westbrook is uber talented, and as long as he doesn't end up in China eating Vaseline, then we all good.
Yo, I got a question. I got a quick question for y'all. Kind of related but unrelated. Yo, should they just sit the boy Thabo and put the beard in the starting lineup, man?
No, because of something you just said. You said they're the only three scoring options, so you need one of those three coming off the bench. Like,
off
or
the
when
bench,
you
like
sit
O.J.
down,
Mayo.
The team is going to be terrible. So I think, of course he's good enough to start, but you need that kind of balance because Thabo plays better defense. So while you got Durant and Westbrook lighting it up, you got the rest of the Stiffs playing defense, like your man Kendrick, who really doesn't play defense. He just hacks people and gets props for it.
I ain't gonna front. I'm biased. I want to see the beard in the starting lineup, I guess.
Tell the beard to sign somewhere else then.
No, the beard finishes, though. Hey, at least the beard finishes at the end of the game.
Yeah,
so.
He's on the floor at the end, so that's what really counts.
Yeah, true. I mean, that's true. That's true. Yo, let's talk about another story, because
I
enjoy slandering this young man. So it's time I get to slander MJ again. For some odd reason, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, who sells high-priced sneakers to get other people killed, he's getting married again. Mike got the Cuban bro he was messing with, so he decided that, they were on vacation in Monaco, reportedly, and Mike popped a question to her. He wants to get married again.
First of all, I haven't been to Cuba. Closest I've been to Cuba is Miami, and I've seen way better Cuban chicks than the one he has. So I'm kind of wondering, like, you know, is this the best idea, Mike? Your last relationship cost you about $168 million. And he swore that he'd never get married again. So basically, Mike is just telling us that he's a sucker for love and he's going to get taken again. So, I don't know.
Yo,
good luck
the
to
only
you.
Thing, hey, yo, the only thing that could save him is, one, if he gets a vasectomy and doesn't have any more kids with her, any signs of prenup. Other than that, like, if he doesn't sign a prenup or if he pops another baby out, then, you know, she's going to take him for seven figures probably.
To be honest, knowing Mike, as I've seen him around and about in D.C., signing a prenup isn't going to matter because in the prenup there's going to be a provision for infidelity. And dude is definitely he's an infidel no matter how you look at it, whether it's his dressing, or his tasting women. Mike is going to mess up.
Yo, hold on. Why call him an infidel?
Yo, I'm having a conversation as we talk about this on Twitter with some of our fans, and one of them, T, says that he's getting married again and to a LeBlanc. He should be ashamed of himself.
A LeBlanc.
Willie Garland says we forgot to give a birthday shout out to Pimp C. So to Willie Garden, so what?
To who?
But anyway.
To who?
Pimp C. Pimp C.
I'm not familiar with his body of work.
Good thing. Shout out to you for that. Anyway, next story real quick is let's talk about Drew Brees, who broke Dan Marino's single-season passing yard record. A couple questions here. Could he be the MVP, and did you guys have a problem with him throwing the ball in the fourth quarter, although they were up by a gazillion points?
No, man, no problem with him. Rodgers should get MVP. Had no problem with them running up the score. It's the NFL. People are getting paid. So just stop them.
It's not even a matter of running up the score. I mean, you had a record that stood for, what, 27 years at stake?
Yeah.
You know, your team is good enough that you might end up resting people next week. Yeah, you're going to go for the record. And if you don't want him to get the record on you at a time where you don't think it should be – you know, gotten, then, yeah, like, off of that, play some D. Do something about
D.
It. Hey, give him a cheap shot. Do something.
Listen, man, I'm one of these guys that I don't even understand what running the score up is. Like, yo, If you can't stop him, you can't stop him. So FOH to that.
Yo,
but in terms of him getting MVP,
with,
I don't think.
I was going to say, I agree with Jimmy Johnson, man. Yo, play D, man. Like, if I can score 105 every time on the football field, I'm going to score 105.
But you know what? At the end of the day, like, if the tables turn and someone could, I mean, you got to deal with what comes after that. But so what? And I don't think that the MVP, I think it may be a little closer. I think he should
I think he's made a case. I think he's made a case
absolutely.
For himself. I mean, that's,
I
like, that's first of all, that record. That's a 27-year-old record. That alone, with the fact that you're only two games behind the Packers, then, you know. I think had the Packers had the undefeated season that it looked like they were going to have, I think that there's no question, and you have to hand that to Aaron Rodgers. And even though I still think Aaron Rodgers should probably win the award, I do think Drew Brees has made a strong case for himself, and I wouldn't be surprised if they gave it to him.
But check this out. Check this out.
Yeah, go ahead, Gil.
Yeah, I was going to speak to one of Brad's points from a couple of shows ago, how Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't, like, they get up so big so early that he doesn't get a chance to throw for 400 yards. So, basically, I can't penalize Aaron Rodgers for not.
I can't say that either because the attempts are very close. Like, you really can't make that argument because the attempts are very close. And, you know, the Saints haven't been playing close games either. If you look at the margin of victory between the Saints and Packers games, I bet you it's fairly close. So, because the Saints have been smacking people, too. It's not like the Saints have been in close games all season.
Yeah, I think the difference in the way they blow people out is that the Packers have pretty much gotten their opponents out of there in the first quarter. So, a lot of the scores look closer in the end because you got three quarters to try to catch up from a four-touchdown lead that they built in the first quarter and maybe, you know, the first two quarters. So,
hey, Deb,
you know, it's hard to
Deb, I got it.
Maintain
Deb,
it.
Deb, I got the stat right here. Drew Brees had 622 attempts and Aaron Rodgers had 502 attempts. So Drew Brees has 120 more attempts than Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm still going Rodgers with it. I mean, and it is a yardage record. And we spoke earlier in the season when like five or six quarterbacks was on pace to break that record. It's going to be like that for the coming seasons. I mean, that record is going to be in jeopardy for the next 10 years if the rules in football keep going the way that they're going. So while it is definitely impressive because this is his second 5,000-yard season, I guess we do have to put it in context.
Context.
And the way
yes.
that they're passing in the league now, maybe it's not that impressive. I'm impressed.
Here's what made me more impressed about it.
Drew Brees has doubled the interceptions that Aaron Rodgers has. I've seen Drew make mistakes.
Threw like 800 more times. Leaves you open. Go ahead, Jim. What were you going to say?
I was about to say, I was waiting for Austin to finish your argument so I can slander Brett Favre. But anyway. What I was going to say, what made me look at this record a little bit more closer is when you looked at the average yards per game of a quarterback when Marino broke it versus the average yards per game now. They were higher, but the difference in what he did and what Marino did is actually close in terms of how much they average per game. So the record is, I mean, come on, I mean, you still got to make plays. I understand the game has changed, but
average per game.
I honestly think that right now, he's playing better ball than Aaron Rodgers. So not from an MVP standpoint, but from moving forward. Right now, like they're like probably the hottest team.
Yeah,
I think that at this point, Aaron Rodgers is bored.
But that's actually the word that I was going to use with the Packers, because we forget that they lost one game, and it seems like they're not hot because they lost one game. Like they lost one
let's
game.
Let's not knee jerk it.
I say get it out the way.
The only two people I've seen play at the level remotely close to where he is, other than Brees, is the big head quarterback Pauls in Indianapolis and Tom Brady. Like, yo, Rodgers and Brees are having a hell of a run. They really are. I just
this is
going to
be
like
one of those Peyton Manning, what's his name? The dude in Minnesota, Culpepper type seasons, where Culpepper may not get his just due for the type of season he had just because there was one quarterback who had a better season. So that might end up happening to Breeze. He might not, but Breeze can't be forgotten just because of the record that he broke. That was a record that I think a lot of people thought would never be broken.
Yeah, I was one of those people. But do we, when you start speaking about context, do we have to take into account the fact that it's illegal to tackle wide receivers now?
No, you have to take it into account. When Dan Marino broke the record, you know, you could wrestle his receivers, you know, before they caught the ball. And, you know, you can hit the quarterback and punish him a little bit after he throws the ball. And it'll make him think about throwing it again. I mean, it was a different time. But all records are made to be broken, so I guess we got to move on.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. At any rate, last one I want to talk about is the Sixers. Luke Williams, a.k.a. I'm a Boss, was almost robbed. You guys hear about this story?
Yeah, man. Yo, that is good to, it's good to give back.
Yo,
when you say that the dude said, when he realized who he was like, oh, man, you did a lot for my hood, so I'm not going to rob you. Like, yo, I'm going to start giving back so I can be immune to the robberies that go on. In
yo, I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul in the book of, what was that, Kill? You may have to help me here, where he's Acts. All things to all people. Acts, yeah, the book of Acts, like, I guess Lou is just getting his relate on. I mean, he's good in the hood. He's good in the center. He's good everywhere he goes for what he's done.
Sweet Lou, man.
Yeah,
I'll tell you one thing, yo.
I'd rather hear this about him than hear that he's dropping any more rap songs.
Like, he got a mixtape coming out, yo. Yeah, but I'm going to keep it funky with you, though. Yo, Lou Williams walks through the hood of Philly like, you know, like it is what it is. So he's like, in the streets of Philly. Like, he's embracing the city.
Well, that's why he was about to get robbed in the first place. Stay your ass in
the street. Shout out to Lou. Yo, Lou is my favorite Sixer, by the way, because I can tell you one thing. He's not scared, and he plays with heart.
That's the best Sixer, man. That's sad.
So are y'all saying that Lou Williams is better in the fourth quarter than Andre Iguodala?
Yo, no slander at Iggy, man. I'm an Iggy fan. I'm the only Iggy fan left in Philly, man.
Oh, man, you can go higher on the chain than Iggy. He better than the fourth quarter than LeBron James.
Damn!
Ain't hard to be, but still.
I mean, LeBron
Dwayne Wade had a terrible game last night. And
Dwayne
they called the play
the
for Dwayne Wade. After LeBron had 35, 6, and 7, they called a play for another dude to score when the game was on the line. And after he scored, LeBron looks over to Cam Newton and does the Superman thing with his chest. Dwayne Wade did it first, and then LeBron did it too. So are you saying that he's Superman? Are you saying that Dwayne Wade is Superman?
Let me ask you a question, though. Right, beyond that, I was watching that game. What's up with them? What was Chris Bosh doing? Like, when he dunked the ball and then start like, planking on the – what's up with that ball, man?
He fell, man.
Yo, well, I'm talking about after you fall,
like
what are you doing?
He almost broke his leg.
Yo, he did, but after that, he, like, laid on his chest, and I'm like, cuz, what are you doing, man? Like,
heat,
yo,
man.
I'm telling you, man. It's
show off now, cry later.
That, man. Yo,
show off now, cry
it is what it is, though, man. Anyway, that's what happened while you were on the grind. Dev, it's time to pass the red eye.
All right, let's pass that rock. If you ain't been listening for this year and a half and you don't know what pass the rock is, that's your fault. So I'm going to go ahead and start it off tonight and tell y'all what's on my mind. Nah, for real. I'm not mad, but I do have a lot of beefs in sports this week, but I want to talk about something a little more important. So as we close out this year and bring in a new one, on behalf of everyone here at War Room Sports, I want to thank you all for your support. If you've ever listened to our show, downloaded our app, read our blog, or argued with us on Facebook or Twitter, you've supported us. This means the world to us because without your support, and the support from our sponsors, of course, we couldn't do what we do. So we hope that we have your continued support for 2012 and beyond. We promise to stay committed to making War Room Sports and the War Room bigger and better for you in the coming months. So thank y'all very much. Salut from me and my brothers. And with that, I'm going to pass the rock to my man, Kill Bayon.
Good evening, War Room Galaxy. I just wanted to take the time to talk about some of the available NBA free agents that your team could sign in this young NBA season. Now, I will break down the list from a position perspective, so be ready to hear a long list of former NBA players. Some you may say, wow, I can't believe he didn't sign with a team. First off, point guards, we have Gilbert Arenas, Nate Robinson, Antonio Daniels, Earl Boykins, Xavier Dowdell. Shooting guards, we have Michael Redd, who just signed with Phoenix, so he's off the list, just signed today. Keith Bogans, Kalena Azubuike, Stephen Graham, Eddie House, Charlie Bell, Morris Peterson, Bonzi Wells, who was just cut. And small forwards, we have Andre Kirilenko, James Posey, Al Thornton. I thought he was nice. Jamario Moon, Julian Wright, Patrick Ewing Jr., Joey Graham, Bobby Simmons, Darius Miles, and the lottery pick, Adam Morrison. Now, down to the power forwards, we have Melvin Eli, Leon Powell, Malik Allen, Antoine Walker, Solomon Jones, and some centers. We have Kay Fazenko, Joel Prisdilla, Francisco Elson, Hamid Haddadi, and Earl Barron. So with that, everyone, I just wanted you to see, maybe get a petition together to get maybe one or two of these players on your squad. If your squad starts doing bad this NBA season, you can get a bargain basement deal. And with that, I will pass the rock to my man, James Williams.
Hello, Haddadi.
Yo, Eddie House can't get a run, yo. Eddie House, I mean, that's what happened when you busting somebody's ass, but I'm like, I didn't know that nobody would give Eddie House a run, cuz. Yo, that's buck wild. Eddie House. Anyway, what's up, War Room World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. Spike Tarantino, a.k.a. James Ford Coppola. And I want to briefly talk about race as it relates to positions on sports teams. Now, this was on my mind this past week as I watched the Lakers play, and I saw my first white-to-white alley-oop. Steve Blake threw an alley-oop to Josh McGobb, and I was in shock. I mean, there aren't too many white point guards, and there definitely are not too many that throw oops to other white players. Now, why is this relevant, you ask? It really isn't. But I find it interesting when people act as if race isn't an issue when discussing or watching sports. I couldn't have been the only person in the world who was shocked by the vanilla alley-oop that took place. I was also in shock when the Lakers set out a lineup of Jason Capono, Troy Murphy, Pau Gasol, Steve Blake, and Metta World Peace. That's right. The Lakers set out a lineup of four white guys and a guy whose last name is World Peace. Now, before anyone calls me a racist, I want you to know I have a lot of white friends. 33 of them to be exact. I have 33 of them to be exact. Honestly, I personally think that one of the five best hoopers of all time was Larry Bird. And anytime I see a white player make a great play, it reminds me of how great Larry the Legend was. But here's what I want to say. Race will always be a factor in sports, but people try to act as if they never think of it when they see a play when watching sports. I couldn't have been the only person to laugh at this. As if you don't laugh when Jordy Nelson burns an athletic cornerback. You have to chuckle. Now, I want the listeners to know that it is okay to have these thoughts and laugh because you are not alone. As Mark Twain once said, the human race has one really effective weapon, and that is laughter. Oh, and FYI, I also laugh when black athletes marry snow bunnies and get half of their stash taken a couple years later. But you can also feel free to laugh with me at them as well. I'm done. Oh, and if you don't know by now, it's the end of 2011, and I'm nice. And be Austin. Austin! Where the brother Austin at?
I don't know where Austin went, man. He must have had the bubble guts or something.
Yo, tell me I'm the only one that laughed at that, yo. When's the last time you saw a white-to-white alley-oop? Anybody in the chat room, have you ever in your life seen a white-to-white alley-oop, yo?
I don't think I've ever seen one.
What?
Yo, what you got, your mic under your shirt?
I don't think I've ever seen one.
All right, well, he just passed you the rock, so finish that off.
Listeners and loved ones, to piggyback on what my brother Dev has said, thank you so much for a wonderful year. I just want to take the time to point to something that's been kind of going around since the Heat's second game of the season. Norris Cole, I want to let you all know that I will, any success that the Heat have this season, I will attribute probably 70% of that to Norris Cole, 20% of that to Dwayne Wade, and 10% of it to Juwan Howard. Because of his age and tenure in the league, he's obviously an inspiration to this next generation coming up. Norris Cole, he's going to be the closer, y'all. He's going to be the reason. Psych. You know, one game, and everyone is talking about Norris Cole making open shots. Now, I'm on front. A little bit of what he was doing reminded me of a young Terrell Brandon. But come on, y'all. No knee-jerk reactions. Let's watch how the season plays out. And I have noticed that Bron is now getting in the post a little bit more. The moves aren't crisp. They're not beautiful to watch like Hakeem, but he is down there, y'all. What could this mean? No three-pointers either. With that, I pull up right at the foul line, sweet jumper, get my hand smacked for the and one, swish.
And the crowd goes wild. All right, Austin, let them know how to get in touch with us.
Absolutely. Check out the best sports website in the universe, warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about the company, the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. Hey, Dev, can you take over, brother?
Yeah.
Take over.
For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, and then click the blog tab to read the latest articles in the All Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices, or to watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, so raise your hand, and we might just call on you. So we're going to jump, fellas, right into this. We're going to review 2011, and we're going to do it only as we can. We're going to let the people know how we saw the biggest stories of the year. But before we do that, I want to tell you that this segment is brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestseller hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the very same time. All right, fellas, 2011, it was a great sports year. I don't know how to compare it to other years, but it holds its own on its own. And let's just go down the timeline, man. The year kind of started with this whole Sidney Crosby concussion saga. You know, he missed 10 months because of post-concussion symptoms. And now that he's back after that 10 months, he's on injured reserve again for another concussion. So what do y'all think about this whole thing? And not just for Crosby, but the importance of this whole concussion testing in sports in general and how it's been highlighted this year.
Yo, it comes down to the chicken, yo. There's so many steroids in our chicken that is ruining most of our favorite sports. So they're going to start playing flag hockey and flag football.
So what are the steroids doing? It's building up their bodies and making their brains mush?
And not their mind.
Yo, man, I'm telling y'all, it's the chicken, man.
No, but this whole Crosby thing is kind of scary to me, man, because, like, how bad did his concussion have to be for the best player in hockey, by most accounts, to have to sit out 10 months, come back for a few games, and is sitting out again? I mean, I think his career is in jeopardy. I mean, I thought his career was in jeopardy during the 10 months that he sat out the first time. But the fact that it comes back and it's not over, I really think, you know, we may have seen the last of Sidney Crosby, or at least the last of an effective Sidney Crosby.
When I look at his situation, I'm reminded of Steve Young and the linebacker from the Panthers, I believe, Dan Morgan. And I immediately, when I heard this second concussion, I immediately thought, that's it for him. That's going to be it.
Yo, I think the whole, I guess, everything from boxing to hockey to MMA and football, over the next, I say, 5 years, they're going to have to do a reevaluation of those sports because, like Jimmy alluded to earlier, you know, bigger, faster, stronger, we all say that. And I know kids now that are, like, 12 years old that have already had two concussions from playing midget football. So it's crazy as you go up the level. So dudes might get to college and they might have, like, oh, I have 5 concussions already. By the time you get to the NFL, they've already had 8 concussions. So, you know, it's getting serious out there.
So it's like, you know, life expectancy in sports is about to go down even further than it already was. And that's crazy. So, you know, we're going to keep it moving. We're going to keep the rapid fire going, just like we did last year in our final show of the year. Cam Newton won the Heisman in 2011, leads Auburn to the BCS title. Well, actually, he won the Heisman right before 2011, but in the same season, he won the Heisman. He led Auburn to the BCS title. He was drafted number one overall. Had a great rookie season. So what do you guys think about the whole Cam Newton saga that played out? I mean, you had him having all the success. You had the scouts and the pundits saying that he probably wouldn't be great in the league. He was taken number one anyway. He seems to have proven his doubters wrong so far. Cam Newton, speak on him.
Cam Newton, a.k.a. The Black Panther. You know, it goes to show that you can never measure, you know, someone's heart and the amount they're willing to work. Because a lot of times, you know, you look at a guy like Andrew Luck, who's for all intents and purposes has been named the greatest prospect coming out of college in 20, 30 years. No one knows how hard he'll work at the next level. Right. Every time you go up a level, there's more work that has to be put in. It looks as though Cam is willing to put the work in. And now that he took a shot at Jamarcus Russell and Vince Young, I like him more, Paul. Good.
But you know what? It all comes down to me as just having a different mentality than some of the other guys. I mean, you would think that Cam Newton was all about money since his pop was making deals for him back in college before he even went to a D1 school.
But here's another thing. But he's one. You brought up a good point. Like, he's also one out of those guys you named that even has a pop in his life.
Yeah, I know. And this is the thing. Like, it seems like a lot of times, like, those guys that he named in his interview, they got the same kind of criticism. Yet, they still went out there, you know, didn't really try to study and hone their craft, and really went out there and embarrassed themselves. I mean, Vince Young on a different level because his team had a little success. So in most fans' eyes, that makes him a little better than he really is. I don't buy it. But I think Cam is about more than just, I'm in the NFL, I got money, I'm going to go do this and go do that. Because he took personal what everyone said about him, what everyone said he couldn't do, and it looks like he's worked hard enough to, you know, become a good quarterback in the NFL, which they said he couldn't do. So I'm just hoping for the brother's sake that he keeps it up. I hope this wasn't a 1 year in your face type of thing, and then now I'm going to go back and be complacent. It doesn't seem like that's his personality, and I really hope.
Because I listened back to our show, and I was the only one that thought he can have success. And I'm not going to lie, he's exceeded my expectations. I didn't think he would be as good as he's shown thus far. But at the end of the day, it's just like moving to the next level. Year after year, you have to, like, you know, work at your craft. I mean, you see some guys have these one-year explosions, and you're like, yo, they're a beast. And the next year, you're like, what happened?
What happened to
you? You know what I'm saying? So,
what happened to Bobby Horn?
You have to constantly work on your skill set. You know what I'm saying?
I'm definitely
shout out to Kevin Cobb.
I was one of those detractors initially because I didn't see anything at Auburn that made me think that he was going to transition to the NFL as smoothly and seamlessly as he has. And I'm actually having a running dialogue on our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/warroomsports, with a couple of our listeners. Shout out to Al Tariq and Esteban 116 around just this topic. And, you know, I think that Cam is kind of, he brings together the athlete as well as the passer. A lot of African-American quarterbacks are known strictly for bringing athleticism and playmaking to the position when being an NFL or sustaining a career as an NFL quarterback requires a level of cerebral play and understanding how to facilitate the offense as much as making yourself the focal playmaker. And I think that he has the talent and the tools and the desire to be that. You know, I don't know whether this would be sustained. I don't judge a player based on one season of success. And I also think that you have to give this context, the context being, number one, the league has changed, and they're dropping passers back, even rookies, 40 times a game. Number two, the fact that he is, you know, he is very talented, and there is a push behind him to really make him successful. He's marketable, but he's far exceeded my expectations. Far exceeded my expectations. So I'm impressed with him, and I hope that, you know, 5 years from now we're talking about how good he is.
I just want people to realize, though, that when you know, even scouts, I mean, they weren't dissing the dude. They were, you know, doing their jobs, and they were evaluating what they saw. And he really didn't do anything at Auburn that would make you think that translates to the NFL well. And maybe he could do it all along. Maybe it's just the offense that they ran, the coach, which we find a lot in these situations. The coach is more worried about winning than honing the skills of, you know, this quarterback for the next level.
So maybe he could do it all along,
but you can't knock the scouts, the analysts, the pundits. You can't knock everybody for their opinion. Okay, people are wrong all the time. People, you know.
Real quick, Dev, is that you in the chat room? Somebody said talking about Durant. Although we've moved on, I'm not sure who was.
That was me because Corey 254 up there said, "What's up with Westbrook and Durant on the sidelines?" and nobody ever answered him.
Oh, okay. Going way back there.
Nobody ever answered the brother. Real quick, with
Cam Newton. Yeah, I was going to say one thing. I think a lot of us fail to realize or didn't even know that one. You know, his pop is in his life, and his pop also played in the NFL. Albeit training camp, Cecil Newton Sr. was with the 83 Cowboys and 84 Bills in training camp. So those are a couple of things there that I think work in his favor. Same thing with Kevin Love. I know I thought Kevin Love wasn't going to be anything in the NBA, but the fact that his pop played in the NBA, you know, these guys, I guess maybe through osmosis, are picking up certain nuances of the game that allow them to excel far above other people's expectations.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And one of the things I was going to also add to Dev's point, in college, he ran in a spread offense, which does not get run in the NFL. And he, too, like Michael Vick, had 5 to 15
does
plays.
In Denver.
I said it does get run in Denver.
Well, go ahead.
Because of the circumstance. Yeah, that's not standard fit.
make your point, though.
That's sure. All I want people to know, though, because it seems like people are angry about the situation.
We told y'all. Y'all was dissing them.
Like, nobody was dissing the dude. They were just giving their opinions, and we were giving our opinions.
Yeah, like, if you want to spread offense in college and you have a 10 to 20 play playbook, there's nothing within that that tells you that you're going to be a great NFL quarterback or even a good NFL. You're not going to get that.
If I've known Austin all my life, and all my life Austin has been a rapper and wants to be a rapper, and then he gets onto the scene and says he wants to sing, I'm going to say, okay, I pretty much think, you know, he's a strong rapper. I don't think singing is his forte. And if he proves me wrong because I never heard him sing before, then that's just what it was. I can't
shout
say
out
that the man can do something that I've never seen him do. That's not
shout out to Dre.
But
yo, real quick though, it's funny because I'm gonna keep it 1,000 with y'all. The reason that I was saying that he could have success really was just because I get irritated with all the scouts. So I was hoping that he could be good. Just like I'm actually hoping. I shouldn't say this, but I want Luck to fail at least initially, because
hey.
Yo. No, but, no, because the scouts irritate me. It's no way he can be. He's a and they were like they were killing Cam. There's no way Cam is going to do this. And now with the other guy, you know, there's no way he can be a fail. So I was like, I like to see them proven wrong. So I actually, you know,
I don't like to see them proven wrong at the expense of another player.
That's it. Yeah.
So
no,
I'm kind of happy
that
Cam Newton exceeded everyone's expectations. That's
yo,
a good thing.
If you're not on my spot, you can fail miserably, and I don't care. I'm sorry. Go ahead, though.
I kind of bought into that with Tebow, you know, and I had to really take a serious look at my reasoning behind disliking dude, and it was totally based on what pundits, scouts, experts, and fans were saying about him as opposed to him. And that's why my position has changed 180 on Tebow, because I think the dude is sincere. I think he's a winner. And my hating on him, really, I wouldn't even call it hate, but my position was based on other people's opinions as opposed to really evaluating him. So I have to do the same thing with Luck, and I got to do the same thing with RG3. I have to evaluate them with what my eyes see, as opposed to getting caught up in the mail.
I'm down on RG3 just because of the way his chick looked, but we got to move on.
I'm down on RG3 because of that hairdo. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah. A lot of people on our page this morning said that his chick is probably responsible for his hairdo. Y'all see there's a picture of her on our Facebook page if y'all haven't seen that. She's homeless.
Shout out to the Tom Bunnies.
Kim Kardashian is available.
We still on like February, man. We had the Packers defeat the Steelers in Super Bowl 45. Now, this was important for a lot of reasons because, you know, the Packers were one of the preseason favorites to make a Super Bowl run. But throughout the season, they lost like 16 people to the IR. And they still, at the end of the season, squeaked into the playoffs and held it together to beat a favorite Steelers team in the Super Bowl. And at the same time, while all this was going on, a star was born, because you see how highly regarded Aaron Rodgers is, you know, by everyone now, especially after his performance in the Super Bowl. So what do you guys think, you know, that whole Super Bowl did for Green Bay and their franchise being back, unlike the Knicks and Aaron Rodgers and his record?
I got a question with regards to that question. Does Mike McCarthy and does Mike McCarthy get enough credit?
I mean, no, never. The quarterback's always going to get all the credit. You're not even going to hear the coach's name. But obviously, if you look at what happened with that team, like we mentioned, the 16 people on IR, you got to give the coach a lot of credit for holding it together. You know, because they could have folded. Dude, they don't have a running game. They just discovered that they had an all right back in the playoffs against the Eagles. A lot of people make that discovery against the Eagles. And, you know, Starks helped them with their run. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the one out there on the field making the spectacular throws. So, of course, as usual, the quarterback gets all the credit. But I think it was a great game. You know, we've been having that lately. Y'all remember back when we were young? It seemed like all the Super Bowls were blowouts in favor of the NFC.
Yeah.
You hype yourself up to watch something, and then it ends up being trash because only one team is worthy of being there. It's not like that anymore. There's been some good games for the last decade or so.
Parity. Parity is good.
Yeah, parity is the good thing, and that's why the NFL is on top of things right now. The Knicks, who are back. They got Melo in February near at the trade deadline after this long saga with Melo basically forcing his way out of Denver, either trade me or lose me for nothing type of thing. He got to New York where speculation was he wanted to go all along. Kill, how, you know, with that whole situation, how did you feel about the way it played out, and you know, what do you think about it going forward?
I'm kind of I'm against athletes kind of crying their way out of town, you know, whether it's Melo trying to get out or whether it was Kobe almost wanting to get out of L.A. And it's like Melo put all his eggs in, like, yeah, I'm going to go to New York. But to be honest, I don't think they will ever go further than Denver did. Like, Denver made it to they lost to the Lakers. Was that the Western Conference Finals they lost to the Lakers?
Went to the Conference Finals that one year.
Yeah. So,
because remember, they used to lose to the Lakers in the first round, but this time they got a better seed, so they didn't lose to them until the third round.
Hey, Kill.
Exactly.
To your point, if you're not going to make it that far anyway, would you rather live in Denver or New York? Anyway, we have a call on the line, and we got one caller holding on, but we have another call that's ready to come on right now. This is Jeff from Speculation Sports is on the line. Hold on 1 second. Let me get him on. Hey, Jeff, you there?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right.
Hey,
doing,
Jeff. What's up, man?
Hey, happy New Year, guys. My name is Jeff. I have two premium calls. I have the Cowpult Radio Show where I do my impressions, and I have Speculation Sports where I do my roundtable. But I've listened to a few of your shows. You guys do appreciate you taking me into your show. Happy New Year to all you guys and all your listeners out there. But speaking of Tebow, when I do my roundtables, my dad always told me if you use the word hate, it's bad for your character because like I've always said. If you look back, I talked about last night on my show. Last night I did my Week 16 review, and I was, I was talking to my people in the download, and I said, if you think about, sir, the hatred, look at that guy that got his butt kicked down there in Dodgers because they hate the jersey he was wearing. I don't think it's a good word to use. When I articulate my teams, I'm a big Cowboys fan, but I articulate all 31 of the teams because I love football. And when I'm picking teams, like I don't like the convicted felon out in the city, Brotherly Shove, but I won't bet against the guy. Okay, he killed dogs, lied about it, made money. But the point is, I don't hate the guy. I won't bet against the city, Brotherly Shove. Okay, he's a hell of an athlete. Okay, but
city of Brotherly Shove.
That's what I call it. The gritty city of Philadelphia, the city of Brotherly Shove. You know, because I do Bill Clinton's voice, so me and Bill always go back. I have Bill Clinton. Hey, man, I tell you what, you guys. This is Bill Clinton, you guys. I want to tell you something. I want you to listen to me. I did not have sex relations with that woman, Mr. Whiskey. Hey, man, I tell you what, you guys. If it's Pedro, man, my Oakland Raiders, man, they're going to win the division. That Tebow time, he's done, man. I tell you what. But anywho, I do voices, so whatever. But the point is, sorry about that. I couldn't help myself. I enjoy talk, but anywho, I've always liked Tebow because he has it in his character. He likes to win, regardless of. I'm a Christian too. I really don't care what he brings to the field. You can't deny he wants to win. He likes to win, and he's refreshing. You have only players that it's all about the money. And I'm sorry, I'm a fan of the game. I follow all teams. I expect everyone to go out and give me their best. I don't care if it's my beloved Cowboys who are mailing it in, and they're going to play step wisely, go to New York City, where it started, where it's going to end. And, you know, you have Craterface down there in San Diego, who should be the offensive coordinator. You know, you got, you know, Craterface in San Diego who should be fired. You know, Fatty 2x4, City of Brotherly Shove, should be fired. I'd be frankly embarrassed the way they played this year, the Philadelphia Eagles. But I want to ask you guys a question. If you're going to punch the ticket on three NFC teams, obviously Washington Redskins, are absolutely goddamn horrible, and that's what Bill Clinton says, Yahoo. All right, if they're representing NFC East tomorrow, okay, you're going to punch the ticket. My five-time Super Bowl champion or step wisely, get on the bus, or the city of Brotherly Shove with a convicted felon and Fatty Fatty 2x4. What one of those three teams, you got to punch the ticket for the playoffs. Antoine, which team do you want to represent the NFC East? Which team? I trust the city of Brotherly Shove because I guarantee it, when it comes to fight, you know the Cowboys are going to turn around. The City of Brotherly Shout is going to go in there and fight. They're going to take a gun to a knife fight. Then the Cowboys, the five Super Bowl championships, are ran by an imbecile named Jerry Jones. We have no offensive coordinator. We have a yes boy as offensive coordinator. And our defense couldn't cover a bedspread. And our offensive line couldn't. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying. I love my Cowboys, but I'm going to call a spade a spade. Plain and simple, you guys, we suck.
Man.
All right? And we're going to get embarrassed on
call,
national
man.
TV. They're going to get embarrassed on national TV in New Jersey, where a New York team playing New Jersey doesn't make any. It's like the Minnesota Vikings playing in South Dakota. It doesn't make any sense. But anywho, I live in Minnesota. I live in Minnesota. Down goes Frazier. Should be fired as well. He was hired on necessity, and he's like a deer in the headlights. He's got that. I'm going to put some deer antlers on his head. He can run around the dome against the Bears. They get embarrassed as well. But, you know, so whatever. I'm sorry. I like to alliterate.
Hey,
but,
no problem. Hey, Jeff, thanks for your call, man. We appreciate it.
All right, you guys. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Yeah.
We will be
all right,
Jeff.
You guys be good, man. Yahoo.
All right, Bill Clinton. Yo, Jeff went in on Cowboys. You know.
Yeah, Cowboys fans going to the Cowboys. You know what? I like that because a lot of Cowboys fans are delusional, and you know. But
we got one on the show who's realistic. Akil is realistic about the Cowboys. You know, we're pretty much realistic about the Eagles. You know, all that dream team crap. And, you know how that went. But,
I got us losing. I got us losing. Big on Sunday night. FYI.
All right. Well, let's move up to March Madness, where we had Kemba carrying UConn through the tournament. Now, how many of you guys pick UConn to win the tournament this year? And, you know, just another question to throw out there. What do you think Kemba will be as an NBA player? And two, you know, where does this put Jim Calhoun as far as the greatest basketball coaches of all time?
Yo, I did not pick Connecticut to win it all. I didn't even expect Butler to get back there. Also, I think Kemba Walker will have the same exact career as Bobby Jackson and Jim Calhoun. I think Jim Calhoun. I don't know. I guess he goes up there with Coach K, Bob Knight. You know, having multiple titles. So. You know, kind of is what it is. He's all right. But his suspension is weak. He missed the first three Big East games for not creating an atmosphere of compliance. Come on, man. So,
what I always say about Jim Calhoun, we have this conversation, is what goes into his favor is the fact that, you know, he had to build this program pretty much from scratch. You know, a lot of guys who are at the table, you know, their programs are just perennially good, even from back in the day. But, I mean, to some of their credit, I mean, you know, they did that too. You know, you needed them to put those teams on the map. But Calhoun doesn't have, well, most likely, because his school is a little smaller, he doesn't have the budget nor the resources, you know, nor the pool of options as far as players go that some of these bigger schools like Duke and you know, Kentucky and places like that have. So I give him his props. I don't know. I don't want to rank him anywhere right now and be hasty just for the show, but he gets his props. He's up there somewhere.
He's in Connecticut, though, so you know them boosters probably giving out nice side checks for their players.
I got Calhoun as he's up there. He's up there. As you said, he did build a program. He's probably in my top 15, perhaps top 10 coaches. As far as Kemba is concerned, I don't know how that's going to play out. He's kind of a less athletic Ben Gordon, but I also think he's going to accept the role of point guard a little bit better than Ben did. So I have him actually transitioning to play the one exclusively and having a productive career.
Yeah, when I watched him play last night, I didn't realize how small he was. Paul's like,
he's tiny.
He looked like a midget out there, cuz.
He's tiny. He's real small.
Yes.
He's real.
I still don't see him, though. I mean, I look at him as a scorer. So it will be interesting to see if he does accept that role as a point guard because, you know, where he is, they have a point guard in DJ Augustine. I don't know how good you guys think he is, but he was lighting Mario Chalmers up last night. They ain't hard to beat, but still.
In our chat room, Skyview made a point in our chat room about Calhoun is the only coach to last. He said they represented the Big East since Georgetown's reign ended. Like, so Calhoun has, you know, been there for a while putting in work.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, yo, one thing. Measurables on Walker I have for the official Draft Express without shoes. They said he measured at 5'11 and a half, and with shoes, 6'1", 184, with a 6'4 wingspan.
Yo, what kind of shoes is he wearing? Cause I ain't never had no basketball shoes. Gave me two in wearing.
What some about special those people's shoes you be wearing?
Some Manolo Nikes? Like, what is he wearing? 2-inch heel.
He got a monkeyish wingspan of 6'4".
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he got one of the illest, wildest looking step back moves I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
It's like a jump back. It's not even a step back.
It's a jump
back.
Yeah. He covers at least 4, if not 5 feet on that step back.
Yeah, it's crazy. The one he did in the Big East tournament, that joint was crazy. But let's move ahead to May. Phil Jackson retired after 11 championships, and you know he retired in the midst of being routed in his fourth three-peat attempt by the eventual champion Dallas Mavericks. You guys think Phil is gone for good? You know, especially considering the way that he went out. Do you think he's cool with going out that way? Do you think we'll ever see Phil Jackson back on the sideline?
Yo, I got Phil coming back.
After watching Mike Brown for 3 games, I'm praying Phil comes back.
What are you saying, Kel?
Hey, yo, I got Phil Jackson going to the Knicks within 2 years because Antoni will not get it done. I'm going to start calling him Antoni.
Yo, Kill wants to rumble Antoni.
I mean, look how he coaches, though. I mean, if you're a purist, you might not dig, you know, what Antoni is cooking. But, man, interesting that you say that, though, because you're quoted as saying that the Knicks will never, even with the acquisitions of Melo, Amari, and whoever else they're going to try to add to that mix, they probably won't sniff the success that they're trying to sniff. Do you think that changes with a Phil Jackson at the helm rather than an Antoni?
Yeah, I think Phil Jackson does, because I think Phil Jackson will make Melo and Amare accountable as defenders, whereas Antoni, they could just kind of do whatever they want, and they expect Tyson Chandler. Like, I expect these guys to be like Denver. Remember when Denver had Camby, and Camby was back there blocking a bunch of shots, winning Defensive Player of the Year, but Melo still really wasn't playing D, and I think that was Melo, Anthony Carter, Kenyon Martin, because they were like, oh, well, you know what, Camby got it. So I think Melo and Amari's looking at the same thing. Well, we got Chandler, so we really don't have to play D now, so.
Yeah, I think Kill brings up a great point, because everybody's making a big deal of the Tyson Chandler acquisition, and it is a big deal. His dude is great at what he does, but he's only one player, and defense is a team effort all the way through your rotation. So it's not even just about your starting five, but also, you know, the top three guys, four guys that are going to get minutes. Everybody has to have a defensive mentality, and that's the one thing. You know, I take pride and pleasure in pooping on the Heat because of the dude, but the one thing I'll give them, they do play monkeyish deep, and they lock down. So you got to give that.
I'm going to keep it funky. I watched all the Knicks games thus far, and the effort is there. Like, you know, I'm not sure how long it'll last, but the effort is there. And what I also found funny is they went out to get an assistant coach just to concentrate on defense. Who does that?
Mike Woodson. They got Mike Woodson.
I would say give it some time, because Melo and Stat, to be honest with you, just objectively, because I like both of them, but they have never played D in their career, and at this point they could suffer from the Vince Carter syndrome. Like, Vince
and Mike
can't
Dibby.
Play D.
And Mike Dibby.
It's not even Vince's fault at this stage of his life. He can't, because he never has.
And Melo never really has played D. The toughest D he played was against your Lakers when he smacked the floor in front of Kobe, and Kobe laughed and went by him and smashed on him. Like, that's
no,
his
like
idea.
I said, like,
I said,
the effort was there. That's what I said. So the effort was there. Like, you know, they put forth an effort. Like I said, I don't know how long it'll last, but I'm watching them thus far this season, and, you know, feel like it's been 3 weeks already with all the games they crammed in. But the effort is there.
Look, hey, Jimmy,
let me give you their best three. Their best three defenders are Chandler, Iman Shumpert, and Baron Davis.
Nah, that's Fields. Shit. Landry Fields. Landry Fields is probably better than
Landry,
Davis.
Landry.
Jimmy
plays a little bit.
Jimmy, they play your Lakers tonight. They play your Lakers tonight too. But what's highlighted is the Knicks. Like, I mean, the Celtics have been playing kind of good without Paul Pierce, but the fact that they went that close with the Celtics without Paul Pierce was kind of alarming, and the fact that they got blown out by the Warriors without Steph Curry last night. So even with Chandler, it's not really looking too good so far, even though the effort may be there.
Yeah, because Chandler's a good defender, but he can't do it all by himself.
Yeah, he can't do it
by himself. Even in Dallas, they had to get those other guys to buy into the scheme before they could have any real success because, you know, he held it down there for a couple of years kind of on his own, but not until they decided to make a great effort as a team to play defense that they win the championship. Plus, in the last round against the Heat, you know, they could pretty much rest, pack it in, and play zone because the Heat were just going to jack up threes, which is really not their forte. It kind of seemed, not to go off topic, but it kind of seemed like they're making a concentrated effort not to do that so far this season. And, you know, LeBron and Wade are making sure they go to the rack besides, you know, instead of letting a lot of defenders off the hook. So we'll see how that plays out. But, yeah. Phil Jackson. Well, go ahead. Say what you're going to say because I'm going to move on to the next story.
Phil Jackson, I'll just say that, you know, I was never really a fan of his, and I used to always argue that Larry Brown was a better coach. But at this stage of his career with the rings that he has, it's really futile to argue against him not being one of the best coaches and greatest coaches in basketball history of all time.
Much.
I mean, you got it.
Pretty much. I don't know if I'll see him again, but that's a hell of a way to go out when you're used to so much success. But maybe that's what you need to stay down. Maybe, like, man, the grind is too much at this point, so let me just take my success and be out. All right, so, you know, Jim Tressel resigned in 2011 amidst the fire he was under for his role in the Ohio State improper benefits scandal, you know, from his players trading memorabilia for tattoos and all the crazy stuff that went on at Ohio State. Tressel, what do you guys, I mean, right now he's a consultant with the Colts. What do you think?
By the way, we got a message for Kill in our chat room. Skyview said to tell Kill that Golden State was playing for Mark Jackson bragging rights because the Knicks snubbed him twice already.
Oh, for the head coaching job.
Yeah.
So they had some dudes starting. Yeah, they had some dudes starting that nobody never heard of at the point.
Yo, the kid, the boy with the afro.
So do the Knicks.
Last name.
I don't know who Tony Douglas is, but.
Yo, you can't trust Tony Douglas because he got two first names.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
Tony Douglas should not be starting in the NBA, especially not for the Knicks. You know, such a storied franchise, and they are now back. You can't be back with Tony Douglas at the point.
Yo,
but,
Tony Douglas' handle is not as bad as Eddie House's, but it's up there. For a little dude, he can't really dribble.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. But what do you think we'll see Jim Tressel next?
Tressel's trying to make that play for the NFL, but I think he's perceived as damaged goods. So he's going to be in a position where he's going to get these consulting jobs, and I don't know whether anybody's going to take a chance on him as a coordinator.
Do you think his role and what happened lends itself to the treatment that he's getting and going to get from this?
No, I think that all fines and punishment from the NCAA is hypocritical because they've created a paradox, even in a vacuum. When you look at and examine what they are without the influence of you know, pundits or people in your ear, you still will see what the NCAA does as ludicrous hypocrisy. So it's kind of like I don't like Trussell because he wears sweater vests, but as far as what he did, as far
what's
as what
with
he
that?
Did,
what about boy, what about boys to men? Come on, man.
Hey, yo, I think Trussell should start his own line of sweater vests because he just gets anonymous with him. Like, besides him, like, it's just him in Motown Philly. That's all it is.
I remember back when all of this was going on, Jimmy, I remember you being kind of tough on the coach. You wrote a couple PTRs about it.
Yeah,
I never really understand why you was being so tough on him, though, because at the end of the day, whether he was doing it for selfish reasons or not, he was helping those dudes out. Now, if he would have come out and just snitched on all them cats, then we would have had a problem with him for being a Henry Hill. So,
yeah, no, listen, I totally agree.
Well, go ahead.
I totally agree with your point that he was trying to look out. But my problem was with the way he acts in public, and he was like talking greed. He was talking down to other coaches and things about doing the right. You know,
yeah,
he's one of these guys that had this image of they used to call him the senator.
You gotta do that to try to be believable,
he wears that sweater vest and he thinks that dignifies him. Like, he throws the sweater vest on and just condescending. Like, he's like a good guy. Like,
okay.
I feel that.
He used to give paid speeches to go talk about, you know, doing the right thing and how you carry yourself and how he's a moral guy and this and that.
Yeah,
but I was kind of fooled because I always thought that of all the programs in the country, Ohio State was one of the more reputable and good programs, if you will. I was fooled.
I don't think there's a major program out there that doesn't do anything wrong.
I mean, that goes back to
what we said anyway.
If you want to find them, just look at the bottom of the standings.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I said major. You know, I don't think. I mean, but that goes back to what we all said, though. It's more of the system being broken because think about what the kids at Ohio State got in trouble for and think about what Trussell was covering up. I was covering up the fact that these guys sold their own merchandise to get stuff and tattoos. They were bartering things that belonged to them. I covered it up. Now these guys are suspended, and I have to resign from my job.
Exactly.
So what
it's
really did anybody do that was all that bad? Like, even if he want to wear his sweater vest like a halo, it's not, like, the rules are just, some of the rules are just stupid.
No, we agree with you on that. I mean, it's bigger than Jim Trussell. It's like Kareem Akbar, the educated brother. I mean, but no, it is bigger than that. I mean, the system is broke.
Yeah, the system is cracked and on the ground. But, all right, so, we talked about the Mavericks beating the Lakers, but later on in June, the Mavericks went on to defeat the much-hyped Miami Heat for the NBA title. I know this brought joy and pleasure to a lot of people around the nation, especially our own B. Austin. So I'm going to go ahead and let you tell me what the Dallas Mavericks winning the title last year meant to you, even though you're not a Dallas Mavericks fan.
Man, the only thing that would have been sweeter was AI getting a starting spot and making it to the All-Star game, or my beloved Philadelphia 76ers competing for a title and beating the Heat. So I was very happy to see them lose, and Dirk Nowitzki finally man up, and the Jet perform, just to see team basketball. The Mavs really came together as a team to defeat them, and I don't think that the Mavs get enough credit because instead of the world talking about the Mavs beating the Heat, the only thing we hear about is how, you know, LeBron decided to leave the building during the fourth quarter of every game. You know, that's all we really hear about. And
I
think
it
does.
That's a big deal, though. He is the king.
Anything the king does
makes big news. It's a big story.
The Mavericks
two things. The Heat, it's still on their mind because they're doing things conscientiously that people are noticing. Like, I'm going to intentionally not take threes.
Mm-hmm.
It's on your mind.
And on opening day, I'm going to intentionally go back into the locker room while these guys raise their banner because we're salty and we're about to blow them out in a meaningless game after they beat us in the most meaningful games of our lives. They did that.
Wow. I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a big deal, though. I'm not really trying to watch you raise your banner that you beat us for. Maybe, you know, if I wasn't the team that you beat to win this championship, I wouldn't have a problem standing out there. But, I mean, you know, there's cameras everywhere. That banner might go up. You might catch me crying on TV. So I'd rather just go back into the locker room.
Like, it looks to me like the Mavericks party a little bit too much. It looks like they ain't stopped partying yet.
You know what, though? I think Cuban pretty much set it up to really, they know that they don't have a chance to repeat. I mean, look what he did with the team. Some of their biggest contributors from the championship season are gone. You got, well, Ron Butler, he got hurt early in the season, but, you know, he was big in the regular season until he got hurt. J.J. Barea, who was amazing in the playoffs, he's gone. And Tyson Chandler, like one of the only dudes on your defense, on your team that plays consistent defense, he's gone. And many people think that they're trying to free up
Stevenson. And Deshaun Stevenson. Deshaun Stevenson, too.
And your other defender, Deshaun Stevenson. So many people are speculating that they're just trying to free up some cap space to make a run at Dwight Howard. And as a matter of fact, Tracy McGrady said today that you heard it here first. He thinks that you'll see Dwight Howard and Darren Williams in Dallas next year. Or maybe
I hear all that, but for the players that are still remaining, like if you watch the games, yo, they're just slow and they look like they're not into it. Like even Jason Terry looks like he has an Atlanta Hawks jersey on because he got the burner when he go out there. He stepped out of the game with the burner on his head. But other than him, like even Dirk said something about it. Dirk was like, yo. It's like our legs aren't there yet. Like, these dudes look like they're
they
just not
the
in
club
a,
too long.
Yeah, like, we still partying. Like, Sean Marion is walking around making people address him as champion Sean Marion.
You know what? Because Sean Marion had a problem with the Mavs getting no respect coming into this season. And, you know, he feels slighted, so he's going to walk around doing foolish stuff like that
terribly. I feel him. Now, because he's Sean Marion and he dyed his hair blonde, I can't publicly take his side.
I don't really
noodle.
Feel
he
him.
He lives an alternative life. He lives an alternative lifestyle. But, like, for the most part, a lot of people were talking about the losers of the chip more than the Mavs.
I know, but he's also complaining about like just coming into this season, them nobody giving him a chance at a repeat. I mean, but come on, congratulations that you won. A lot of people are happy that you did, but why would anybody think you're going to repeat if nobody thought you were going to win the championship in the first place?
But also,
then you lose the defensive core of your team and the two or three players that we just named. Like, what kind of effect?
And also the lockout had an effect on everything too. People weren't even talking about, like, you know, everybody went from the lockout, and then if you ask me, they kind of set it up for the Heat with that mid-level exception, allowing them to get Shane Battier. It's kind of set up for the Heat to win the whole thing.
Some players never stop playing ball. You know,
except for
and all those cats. They play ball.
Kevin Durant is in mid-season form already.
Kevin Durant, he played ball more than he played in the NBA during the summer.
He's ready for the playoffs right now, yo.
Yeah, so, I never saw Dirk out there getting his ball on, and Sean Marion and all them, like y'all said, they out partying while everybody else out staying on shit.
So why was Vince Carter partying? He didn't win the chip. Like, Vince Carter looked like out of shape like me out there. Like, I look at Carter like, yo.
Vince Carter doesn't have any more muscles, yo. He looks like Paul Pierce.
Yeah, Vince Carter stopped, like, caring
years
ago.
Me and Austin were talking during the game the other day, and I was like, yo, you watch Vince Carter, he can't even jump no more. If he don't have ups, like, he's done. Like, he's just a fat-footed jump shot.
He can still shoot that thing. A little bit.
He never could
he
shoot.
He can definitely shoot.
They should have kept Rudy Fernandez instead of bringing in Carter.
I definitely agree with that.
So I don't understand the respect that they want to get with the team that they're fielding right now.
Dirk was playing. He played for the German National League or national team rather. But he did take 2.5 months off, he said, from playing ball. And as far as Kevin Durant,
Like, if you, as a regular human being, regular person, a fan, if you could find or acquire his cell phone number and call him, like, he would come play with you.
Yo, Kev, we're like playing this in the backyard.
Yeah,
yo.
I'll be there. Yo, we in the church league, and we need somebody, Kev. We're in the church league.
Yo, he's coming. He definitely would have played in your church league, too. Absolutely.
All right. So, yeah, before we get into the next round of, you know, from July to December with Jimmy, our last thing here, we ain't got to talk about it much. I just want to say shame on the people of Vancouver after rioting because their Canucks lost in the Stanley Cup final to Boston. Like, you know, I always say Philly gets a black eye for every little thing we say. You know, we boo people, and it's like we walk around stabbing cats. But this city actually rioted because they lost. I've never seen any sore loser type stuff to this level in my life. And, you know, the story is up for about 3 or 4 days, and then the story goes away. And then the next time a Philly fan boos somebody, he's in the news for a week. I don't understand.
City of brotherly shove, man.
Shame on Vancouver for the riots. And I'm going to go ahead and pass that thing to Jimmy and see what it is he want to talk about from July to December in 2011.
Man, you already know. And if anybody wants to get in touch with us, warroomsports.com. Or you can just Google War Room Sports because we are all over the internet.
Boom.
And if you're listening on the internet, you want to get in touch with us, you want to talk on the air or something, it's called 323-410-0012. Now, this next segment I'm about to jump into is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. And if you have a Palm phone, you need to go trade that in because no one uses a Palm phone. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website, warroomsports.com, to listen or download our shows. Anyway.
Hey, Jim.
Let's talk about – yes, sir.
You think the cats at Palm use Palm phones besides their company issues, Jim?
Yo, the company was actually sold to HP, I believe.
To
like, no,
yeah.
And HP don't even want to do it. Like, they don't even want to do it. They all use BlackBerry. They all use Android iPhones. Anyway, let's talk about some soccer real fast. Real fast, that is, because we're not really soccer heads other than Austin. But the U.S. women's soccer team beats Brazil and France on their way to the World Cup finals, only to be upset by Japan. And what I find funny about this is I was listening to our show about this, and Austin guaranteed the women's school would win. They would beat Japan. It would be easy.
Well, they were supposed
Austin,
to. Japan,
to for yourself,
Japan had to come back to win that game, but, you know.
Austin said it's over. He said they might as well give him that. He said it's over with.
I just appreciate the France game because of how the French women looked on that
they
team.
They probably smell like dirt, though. Hey, Austin,
Charlie.
They smell like Charles de Gaulle Airport. Come on,
like a European airport. Shout out to our European fans out there. Hey, Austin,
the transatlantic lift.
Jimmy gave him a shout out after he said they stink.
Listen, man.
All right. That was stupid.
Yo.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say they smell like a slave ship. But Austin, what's your thoughts on the U.S. losing? Get upset like Japan, yo.
I was embarrassed. They didn't live up to my predictions. I didn't even know they played soccer in Japan. I mean, so I don't have any. Yo, never underestimate the power and resilience of a people that are downtrodden and they need something, you know, positive because Japan suffered the earthquake, and so their team was inspired. No one gave them a shot. I think the U.S. expended all of their energy on those victories that they kind of ran through, and they took the Japanese for granted the same way I took the Japanese for granted, and they came through and Pearl Harbored them. I mean, they just put the work in on them.
Pearl Harbored them. Yeah, really.
Yo. Hey, Jimmy, Austin is lucky he didn't make a tattoo bet on that guarantee.
No.
He'd have had a Japanese soccer ball on his ass or something.
Yeah, it's just funny because I happened to just listen back on it, and I was laughing. He was like, oh, it's weird. You know, a guarantee of U.S. victory. Laughing like, man, you never – that's the great thing about sports is, like, no matter what, they always have to play the game.
Yeah.
Anyway, this next story, you really got to talk about it. The NFL lockout ended and no games were missed. Looking back at it, do you think it was much ado about nothing?
It pretty much seemed that way. I mean, it's like you go through all of that and then you hear about what they agreed on in the collective bargaining agreement, and you wonder like what it was all for. And it's kind of the same thing with the NBA lockout. Like, you know, what did you guys do all of that time?
In those situations
where you have folks that are making more money than they need to live, it always comes down to really ego. All it's really about is ego, because it's not about in a true labor and collective bargaining situation where you have unions that are fighting for the rights of workers to exist and live and feed their families and all of that, you know, that's one thing. But you have millionaires arguing over whether I'm going to make, you know, $1.2 million or I'm going to make $1.5 million. They're well within their rights to go to the bargaining table. That's the beauty of a free market economy and where we live. But I think in both cases, especially the NBA lockout, it was all about ego.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's what it's about. But let's move on to the next story so we can get through our stories this evening. Pat Summitt announced early onset dementia and then forget she says it and signs an extension. No, I'm joking. She said she has early onset dementia, but she will continue to coach the team. It's kind of a sad story. Pat Summitt is one of the top female coaches in my lifetime, if not the best coach, her and the guy from Connecticut. I don't know who I will put at the top. But let me ask you guys a question, first of all, about this story, and second of all, do you think that Pat Summitt will be successful with men?
I mean, I guess if you're a great motivator and you know the game of basketball, it really doesn't change, you know, going from men to women besides athleticism.
Let's keep it funky.
Oh, you know,
we all play organized ball. We all play organized ball. Would you guys be okay with a female coach? I just want to hear, honestly.
If she knew, you know, if she comes with a reputation of knowing what she's doing and knowing what everything is about, I wouldn't mind. I think Pat Summitt could be successful with men because I think the biggest trait to being successful crossing over like that is respect. So if she can get the respect that's deserved, then she knows the game. So
if that's the case, then why the Lakers hire Mike Brown? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I respect her more than Mike Brown. That's what I was going to say. So wow.
Like, could you play for a female coach, honestly? We keep it real here. Could you play for a female
coach? I don't know.
That's the honest answer. How about you, Doc Bay?
Yeah, I mean, if I was like at a college or for a pro team, I mean, at the end of the day, I would have to. And you know, I try to be on board with what she was doing. So yeah,
I guess it'll be difficult to be like if she moved over to NCAA men. I guess it'd be difficult to be among that first year of dudes. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know how it is. But once she builds that reputation for 5 or 6 years and you see that, oh, she can still win at this level, then it's not a problem to play for. But, you know, that first year might be a little difficult.
Unless they, like, rally around her and whatnot, like, you know. Always, but let me ask you a question, right? And by the way, for those listening, we're not sexist, but I want to get honest opinions here. Could you play for a female football coach?
No.
that's different. I don't think that's a game that translates. I mean, there is no female football league unless you count lingerie and a little thing they're trying to do up north. But, you know, there's no serious female football league. So it's different than basketball. Basketball is a sport where it's the exact same game except for the size of the ball. So
Doc Bay, what's your opinion, Doc Bay?
Could I play for a female football coach? I wouldn't quit the team, but I think a lot of times I would second guess her direction. I might be like, "Hey, coach, actually, if we ran this play, it might be better." You know,
I would say no, but I saw the success that Coach McGrath had in the movie Wildcats with Finch. And Skyview in our chat room makes up a point that there is a woman coaching the IBDL. I saw a story on her on TV before as well, but. I wonder how, you know, if that would work. When I see, like, Pat Summitt and the success she had, I always wonder how, like, that would translate into the men's game. But shout out to her, and I hope she, you know,
I think, again, in the game of basketball, you can – the principles in the game doesn't really change, only the athleticism. But for football, a woman has no frame of reference. A woman has no frame of reference. She has no –
Is that
like,
because she
no
hasn't played, you're saying?
Not even so much just she hasn't played. There's no example that she can put in her mind where, okay, I know a woman that's been through this. So I know, you know what I'm saying? The difference
is
ain't
going to be hard to
motivate.
I mean, yeah,
well,
but I mean, we also see coaches that are successful that have never played the game as well. So, you know what I'm saying?
You still have a frame of reference to look to, a male point of view. Even if I haven't done it, I know men who have done it. I can look at men who have done it. You know what I'm saying? As a woman...
Listen, I totally get that, but somebody has to be the first. You know what I'm saying? At one point, whenever a black quarterback, they had to be the first. And, you know, so...
Yeah, but I don't believe...
Hopefully one day we can get to that
black
point.
A black man is still a man.
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is eventually somebody will have to be the first. Like,
I know they used to say we were half of men, but...
I mean, that all depends upon who you ask, Austin. Some people still don't think that, but I mean, it is what it is. But I'm saying eventually somebody has to be the first. And, you know, hopefully one day we can get to the point where women have an opportunity. But right now, I was just wondering how you guys felt. And, I want to get your honest opinion, but...
Out of half a minute in Atlanta. I'm gonna go screen this.
Yo, shout out to the men in Atlanta, 3/4. But anyway, listen, another story I want to talk to you gentlemen about is Peyton Manning, aka Austin's favorite quarterback. He misses the first game of his NFL career after 227 consecutive starts due to lingering issues from neck surgery. And also back surgery from carrying that large amount of money that he stole from his team. I personally think he robbed him. But with that being said...
That back surgery is from him carrying the team, actually, Jimmy. That's not from him stealing the money.
You got a great point there. I think we've
had this conversation about MVP, and we brought up Aaron Rodgers, we brought up Drew Brees, but why haven't we talked about Peyton winning the MVP for this season?
We have.
No, I, that's a good point. I honestly think he should get some votes. I think it would be hilarious, but I also think it's honest. Like, yo, they were a playoff team. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, Pierre Garçon forgot how to catch. Austin Colley forgot how to play. The tight end
playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
She was the Colts coach when he said that.
I know, right?
Yeah. Hey, I see we got a. Is that Patrick on the line? Is that Patrick, the Tupac fan on the line? Let's get him on. Let's see what Patrick got to talk about. Pat.
Yo, what's up, fellas?
What's going on,
Pat?
Good, hey, not much. Tupac, greatest of all time. Tupac coming
his,
back for the New Year, 2012.
He said he's coming back.
The Lord fucking you.
Hello?
Yeah.
What's going on? My bad. What's going on, fellas? I just wanted to call in. I wanted to call in and try to catch some of the show for a little bit and just say what's up to you guys. Happy New Year. Good job. I always follow you guys online.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
We couldn't do it without that.
Jimmy going to keep dissing Tupac. So.
Let me ask you one question.
Hey, man, it's the greatest, baby. Sometimes to be the greatest, you got to have people that, you know, go against you sometimes.
Yo, Patrick, real quick, though, let me ask you a question. I want your honest answer. You as a man, could you play for a female basketball coach or a female football coach?
I think I could. I was actually listening to that part, and I think I could, but I think it's just got to come down to, like you guys said, respect. I think the thing with Summit, I think definitely she could do it now, you know, as long as her health is fine. Of course, she could continue because I think everybody already knows she knows what she's talking about. She knows what she's doing. You know, she has that program with Tennessee, so I think guys will come in respecting her. if she would have first came out or if she wasn't successful at Tennessee, I think that would be a whole different story, you know, with the whole male ego thing. I ain't listening to this lady. She don't know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
I think she, you know, she would have some problems with that.
Hey, well, Pat,
but
the reason
we
asked
you
that
transition
because,
over now and do it. Football, I don't know.
The reason we asked you that is because Georgetown is about to hire Cheryl Miller to be their basketball coach.
You say what now?
I said, the reason we asked you that is because Georgetown is about to They about to fire JT3 and hire Cheryl Miller. So you cool with that?
Nah, man, that's not going to happen, brother. JT3, we're going to the Final Four this year.
And the rest,
all right,
the rest,
man. Thanks for your call, man.
All right,
man,
y'all take it easy.
Peace.
All right, see
take it
you.
Easy, Patrick.
Yeah, Pat is a Georgetown stan. That's his squad. He bring up their Washington stuff, and we're not even talking about it. He's die hard.
Yeah, but, Dad, we were talking about Peyton Manning. Do you think Peyton Manning should honestly get any MVP votes?
Man. I mean, of course it's not realistic. They're not going to do it, but why not? Like I said, this team is a perennial playoff team. This team, for the last decade, is usually the last team to lose a game. Now they're the last team to win a game because this dude is not on the field. Like we've been saying, you know, it's bad on the organization's part that they built a team so much around the talents of one man that it has to look like this when he's gone. But I give him a vote. If I was in the voting committee, I'd at least give him a couple second-place votes or something like that.
Yo, that's my point. I don't think he should win it, but, yo, he should definitely get some votes, yo.
Yeah, he should put his name
on
the ballot.
That's why when we start talking about the money in the contract, Jimmy, all that is back pay, brother.
I mean, I hear you, but I don't believe in back pay. I'm sort of like Dev. Dev says, look, no loyalty to players to screw them, and I kind of feel that way. I'm not giving you back pay.
Back pay.
That's neither here nor there. Anyway. Anyway, let's get into some more stories while we got some time. Major League Baseball in the final nights, the Braves and Red Sox complete epic collapses before the playoffs start. What do you guys remember about those games back then?
Man, I remember that being.
I would have rather played the Braves in the playoffs.
I remember that being like the greatest night of baseball I remember like seeing ever. Like the way that everything went down and the drama and how it went down. You know, I was just up, like, screaming at the TV the whole night. And our team was already solidified with the number one spot and 102 victories. But I had never seen anything like that, man, and to complete the kind of collapses that they completed. Because, you know, I was on the Red Sox bandwagon from day one. And
yeah, for me, It still hurts to talk about baseball. Therefore, I'll let you guys talk about it because I can't even talk about baseball at this point. It still hurts. So, you know, anybody else got any comments?
All I can say is I didn't pick the Boston Red Sox to go to the World Series. I think I had them going to the playoffs, but I think I was like, yo, they're going to like fold because too much expectations, talent, money, all that kind of stuff. So, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Next story. Which was a major story this year, is Al Davis died at the age of 82. I used to say that Al Davis was dead 10 years ago, and they just weekend at Bernie's and rolled him out there every weekend. But he actually passed away, and, you know, as much as I hate to admit this, because I hate anything dealing with the Raiders, he had a tremendous impact on football, and he helped create the game that, you know, we know and love to this day. So any thoughts on Al Davis?
Yeah, definitely a big loss for the game.
Great for the game.
Yeah, I mean, he had come to a point where at his advanced age, I think he was exercising a little too much power over the team. And, you know, the roster was still made in his image and how he wanted it to be because of how it was back in the heyday. So, you know, nobody wanted the man to die, but, you know, he probably should have given up control long before that happened. But, you know, rest in peace to Al Davis. Like you said, he was a big part of, you know, football as we know it.
Yeah, no doubt. B. Austin, any thoughts?
Man, Al was quite a character. He brought civil rights to the NFL in a lot of ways. So, you know, you gotta you got to love him for that. He also brought track, the influences of other sports. You know, he was a big track fan, and if you ran fast, Al would sign you.
No. Hayward
no
Bay.
Doubt.
First-round pick. Come on, Al.
Another one of the biggest stories of this year was the Penn State Sandusky scandal. You have to let us spend a lot of time on this because we talked about this in depth in the past, and I'm really kind of tired of talking about it. Only other question I want to bring up to you guys is this. How difficult do you think it's going to be for them to find someone to really take that job, especially a big name?
I think we should apply.
Yeah, it's going to be very hard because think about it. One, you're walking into the legacy of Joe Paterno, who's been there for like 55 years. Then you have the all this nastiness of the scandal hovering over the program. So it's like, really, who wants to walk into that? Like, they might have to hire like a graduate assistant from like a big program who's like, yo, I'll take it. You see what I'm saying?
It's crazy to me,
though. Hire somebody from
it's crazy to me because what Jimmy said is probably right about the legacy being ruined, but y'all know my stance the whole time. I don't really see how it ruins his legacy as a football coach because his former assistant coach being a nasty cat shouldn't have anything to do with Joe Pye did between those white lines. But, you know,
I personally,
his whole image morally definitely may be ruined. But
I think that Joe Pye was ruining what he did between the white lines for staying around 15 years too long. But here's the thing, though. It's funny. They may have to, like, change their logo or something. I'm going to keep it way real with y'all. When I'm, like, walking around the city and I see somebody with, like, a Penn State hat or, like, a sweatshirt on.
You look at them
funny. I look at them funny. Like, you not, you know, like, they're going to have to change their colors or something. Like, because their whole logo and look has, like, a negative connotation now. It's crazy. But this one man, like, damn near ruined the school.
Yeah.
I think I kind of called
another guy. We're not even talking about.
I'm sorry.
We're not even talking about the ramifications and the consequences that are going to come down on the program. Whoever's going to coach next is going to have to understand that, you know, they could throw the book at Penn State, something terrible. So whoever you get to coach has to understand that they may be forfeiting bowls for some years. They're going to be forfeiting scholarships.
But why?
You know, looking at the
They don't have any NCAA violations.
Yeah, they didn't violate
NCAA rules. I kind of fall on the other side of this, fellas. I don't really think it's going to be that difficult for them to find a coach with a bigger name. Because I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of people out there who's going to want to play that hero role. You could take a program that everybody perceives as being down because of what happened, but they're not really down as a program. So if you go in there and you continue to win, you look like a hero. You look like a savior, and you didn't really have to do that much rebuilding. So, it remains to be seen if the recruits stop, you know, showing up.
The word is they want Eric Mangini as the coach.
Yeah,
and, you know.
He about to run out of options, so what is he going to do?
Hey, let Mike Brown go in there and interview. He'll get the job.
He might become the president of the whole school.
Jimmy. Greatest interview skills known to man. What's up?
Hey, Jimmy, while we're on the topic of college sports, I just wanted to give a shout-out to Patrick Waring, who represents Georgetown, and he wanted to highlight that. You all remember that fight that Georgetown had in China where, you know, cats were getting pummeled because Georgetown was winning, and he's making a case that allowed Georgetown to come together as a team because they started the season as a top 20, not out of the top 25. Now they're up to number 12 after beating number 4 Louisville. They should probably go up to maybe the top 10, and they also beat number 12 Alabama and number 8 Memphis.
Because they went to China and they got zipped up. That made them a better team.
Because Bruce Lee chopped your neck, you're now coming together as a team. Come on, man.
Yeah, yo, you go through stuff like that with a cat, though. Seriously, say you got a couple of homies, you know, and y'all do normal homie stuff together. But once you get into that brawl, that altercation,
I don't know. I don't know if them getting zipped up means that's why they're a better team now. I mean, I just don't know,
man. You get into group brawl with some dudes, your trust level for those dudes goes up.
Listen, I totally get that. So how can we get some of our squads to get in some group brawls or something?
We gotta start something, man.
We gotta get the Phillies into a group brawl.
Find out where the Phillies hang, and right before the playoffs start, we just gonna have somebody. It gotta be somebody inconsequential on the team. We can't like hit Ryan Howard. So it gotta be somebody that's kind of a scrub.
He is inconsequential in the playoffs though.
Whoa!
Well, wherever they hang before the playoffs, we gotta send some troublemakers in there to start some stuff. Hopefully, they don't get zipped up too much where they can't go out on the field and perform, and we might get that championship.
And it's easy to make Ryan Howard, man. All you gotta do is put a snow bunny in front of him and then move her, and he'll get real pissed. But I mean, that's neither here nor there. Let's move on to the next story, though, because we gotta get a couple more stories done.
Go ahead.
Justin Verlander, he won the Cy Young and the MVP, so shout out to him for that. That was a big story because we actually talked about that in the forum.
Yeah.
You know.
Shout out to him. I don't have much to say besides, congratulations.
Also, the NBA had their lockout, which
still don't think
you should have
won the MVP.
Much to do about nothing. Now, Syracuse fires Bernie Fine, and, of course, Coach Boeheim came out and defended him and later recanted once he got the information. So
yeah,
we don't want to talk about that anymore.
In that situation.
Another story, Albert Pujols signs 10-year, $254 million deal. That's right, 254, and with the Angels. Shout out to him and his wealth.
Surprising to me, though, too.
Man.
Like, I still thought throughout it all, and all the offers he was getting everywhere else, I thought that he would probably end up remaining a Cardinal. It's crazy to see him in another uniform. But
yeah,
yes,
man.
It is.
Yeah.
He helped bring two more titles to that city, so the feelings can't be that hard. I can see if they got close, real close, and then he bounced on them.
Listen, man, I'm the kind of guy that if you bring two chips to any of my teams, I don't even care if you leave for more money, yo. Like,
free cheesesteaks for the rest of your life.
Exactly, yo. Anybody bring two chips to the city, like, yo, you get a pass for anything else you do. You know what I'm saying? With the exception of
Sandusky. How much better is he than A-Rod?
Well, he comes through in a clutch. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. The only time A-Rod came through in the clutch, they won a championship. So, I mean, that shows you how much they actually needed A-Rod to come through in the clutch.
Yo, put it like this, Austin. A-Rod is the best regular season player in baseball. And Pujols is the best all-around player in baseball.
Yeah.
There you have it. Anyway, Tebow was a big story this year, getting the chance
Tebow's
to play and win. And I'm starting to think that the NFL is fixed, considering that the Giants and Cowboys get to play for the division in the last week, and Tebow gets to go against Kyle Orton for a playoff spot. Like, so I'm starting to think the league is fixed. But he's a big story, and we spent a lot of time during the course of this year talking about him, and he's just a polarizing figure. And the one thing I can say is before Tebow got in, the team was irrelevant, and now they're on SNL. So shout out to Tim Tebow for making the team relevant.
That's
it's not anything
all
else.
I got to say is God bless.
Absolutely. That's all we say now. When the haters come, God bless. Tim Tebow voice. And we got a couple minutes left. Before we do, let's talk some hoops because the CP3 trade would have been a big story with him going to L.A. But, David Stern acted like a little brother, and he blocked it. I was watching him play. Actually, Kill, I thought about you last night, No Rainbow, when I was watching San Antonio Spurs handle the Clippers. I was like, okay, Kill's on to something. Spurs actually look kind of good. What do you think about CP3 being in L.A. with the other team?
Clippers are back. Oh.
Back, there you go.
Yo, the Clippers, like, history is so bad. It's like that, as soon as they make any mistake or turnover, you're like, it's still the Clippers. It could be one turnover. You're like, same old Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how you think, man. Like, they let people down so much, even though they got CP3, it's still a situation.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
It's like I try to explain to people just how, like, especially younger cats, how bad the Clippers were. Like, people don't realize, like, during our lifetime, the Clippers may have literally been the worst franchise in all of sports. I mean, their history.
All of sports, yeah.
Yo, their
yeah.
history is uglier than Sam Cassell and Tyrone Hill combined, man. That's how ugly their team history
yo,
is.
Yo, my question is, and I'm being dead serious, 100, are there really Clippers fans? And I'm not. I'm talking pre-CP3, not the bandwagon. Like, if,
you know
are there
what?
Fans of the Clippers?
You know what? I've spent a lot of time in L.A., and I can tell you that there are Clippers fans, but it's kind of a class type thing. I mean, their tickets are cheaper. Their tickets are easier to come by. So if those are the only games you can get to in town, you know, you become a fan of that. I mean, the only time you really get to see the Lakers live, if you're in that tax bracket, is when they play the Clippers, because that's the only time the Lakers are going to be cheap enough for you to see. So I've seen, you know, I've been to Clippers games where the support seemed genuine. You know, I don't know how you choose the Clippers in a town with the Lakers, but I know where the question came from. And right now it's kind of getting ridiculous of all the people who seem to be all of a sudden
I'm
on the Clippers.
I only know one Clippers fan.
I don't know.
He might be a little upset for us outing him, but that's Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce is the only Clippers fan I know of.
I don't know any personally.
Laverne and Shirley are diehard Clippers fans.
Yeah, because their show went off so long ago, they didn't have Laker money. So they wanted to sit in the front row.
Exactly. Yo, one thing about the Clippers, I'll say one thing about the Clippers is Don Sterling, I mean, we all know this with our business acumen that, I mean, even though they've lost, he's always turned a profit just about every year.
Oh, yeah, he's a profitable franchise.
I mean, he's in a major market with no football team, so they got a lot of spillover in the basketball.
They said the Clippers were the only team that didn't even provide, like, socks or towels for their players. Like, yo, you got to bring your own towel and, like.
Yo, guess how much he paid in 81? In 81, Sterling paid $12 million for the Clippers. Now they're worth about $300 million.
Hey, here's a question to ponder that nobody's talking about with the whole CP3 thing. Has anybody even mentioned whether or not he's going to resign there? Or are they just that happy to have him for this one season?
He's got
two years. What he did, he extended his current deal. He was like, yo, I'm not going to opt out.
He was at an option year, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. So has anybody, you know, have they indicated, or is he basically in a wait and see?
Wait and see.
He's going to see how we do.
Yeah, he's waiting
and see. How the top African-American player in the league develops.
Okay, because, you know, we're all Blake Griffin fans here, but that doesn't take away the fact that this is really only his second year in the league. So the fact that everybody put the Clippers into the title contender realm just because they got CP3, I don't know. I think the team is very talented, but I don't think they're title contenders.
And I'm by far the biggest Chauncey Billups fan on this show. But
yo, you told us he was a Hall of Famer, yo.
Yo, he's not
remember
a long-term
Austin, Austin argued that Chauncey Billups is a Hall of Famer, cuz.
Yo, I think he might be. If Chris Mullin and Mark Jackson got in, then Chauncey should get in. I mean, I'm going to check
Mark
that.
Mark Jackson got in. Who said Mark Jackson got in?
Yeah, when did he get in, or was he about to get in?
He was nominated.
My bad.
Nah, Mark Jackson cleans up at the Hall of Fame.
He ain't no Chris Mullin, man. Not in his best years.
Nah, he's not in Chris Mullin.
He
no,
ain't no
so
Chris
deep.
Mullin. Come on, man. Y'all remember watching Chris Mullin as young boys, man.
Plus, he was drunk at the time.
I mean, are we thinking about Indiana Chris Mullin? You got the case, but he ain't no Chris.
I'm not saying that Chauncey Billups is Chris Mullin. Not at all. I'm more along the lines that if Joe Dumars got in, then Chauncey should get in.
See, but that's
Chris
what we
Mullin
said we weren't
going to
do with our arguments, man. If it's like that, then there's a lot of
shit to be, man. If that's the case, I should be in for my jump shot at Mallory. But, yo, anyway, thanks for joining us in the war room this evening. Special thanks to all of our guests and everybody who participated in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, and all the callers we got. We appreciate all your support throughout 2011, and we hope to have your continued support in 2012. That's if anybody is still around after 2012. Tune in next week, same time, same place, new year, to help us bring in 2012 with the biggest sports stories of the week. Have a happy and safe New Year's Eve and a blessed 2012. One love.
One love.
Yeah.
check it out, man. Check out what I got here, man.
What is that? What's that?
Yo, it's a letter I got from my man Nas, man. Where was born?
What up, kid? I know shit is rough doing your bit. When the cops came, you should have slid to my crib. Fuck it, black, no time for looking back, it's done. Plus, congratulations, you know you got a son. I heard he looks like ya. Why don't your lady write ya? Told her she should visit, that's when she got hyper. Flipping, talking about he acts too rough. He didn't listen, he be ripping while I'm telling him stuff. I was like, yeah, shorty don't care. She a snake too. Fucking with them niggas from that fake crew that hate you. But yo, guess who got shot in the dome piece? Jerome's niece. On our way home from Jones Beach's club. Plus little Rob for selling drugs on the dime. Hanging out with young thugs that all carry nines. And nighttime is more tripe than ever. What up with Cormega? Did you see him or y'all together? If so, then hold a fort down. Represent to the fullest. Say what's up to Herb, Ice, and Bullet. I left for half a hundred in your commissary. You was my nigga when push came to shove.
One what?
One love.
One love. One love. One love. One love.
I heard him frontin', and he be pumping on your block. Your man gave him your Glock, and now they run together. What up, son? Whatever. Since I'm on the streets, I'ma put it to a cease. But I heard you blew a nigga with an ox for the phone piece. Wildin' on the Allen, but now with Elmira, better chill, cause the niggas will put that ass on fire. Last time you wrote, you said they tried you in the showers. But maintain when you come home, the corner that was on the rails. All these crap niggas know the deal. When we start the revolution, all they probably do is squeal. But chill, see you on the next VI. I gave your mom Duke's loop from kicks plus into flicks. Your brother's butt wildin' in four main. He wrote me, he might be this case till he come home, I'm playing low key. So stay civilized, time flies, no incarcerated, your mind dies. I hate it when your mom's robbed. It kinda makes me wanna murder. For real, I even got a mask and gloves to bust slugs for one love.
One love, one love.
A Buddha sack, minds in another world, thinking how can we exist through the facts written in school textbooks, Bibles, etc. Fuck a school lecture, the lies get me vexed up. So I be ghost for my projects. I take my pen and pad for the weekend, hitting L's while I'm sleeping. A 2-day stay, you may say I needed time alone to relax my dome. No phone left and not at home. You see, the streets had me sweat something terrible. Fucking with the corners, have a nigga up in Bellevue at HDM. Hit with numbers from 8 to 10, a future in a maximum state pen. It's grim, so I comes back home, nobody dealt with Shorty Doo-Wop. Rolling two Phillies together in the bridge, we call him Oo-Wop. He said, nah, niggas call me busting off the roof. So I wear a bulletproof, a pack of black Trey Deuce. He inhaled so deep, shut his eyes like he was sleep. Started coughing when I peeked to watch me speak. I sat back like the Mac, my army suit was black. We was chilling on these benches where he pumped his loose crack. I took the L when he passed it. This little bastard keeps me blasted and starts talking mad shit. I had to school him, told him don't let niggas fool him. Cause when the pistol blows, the one that's murder be the cool one. Tough luck when niggas are struck, families fucked up. Could've caught your man but didn't look when you bucked up. Mistakes happen, so take heed. Devil bust up at the crowd, cut some toe or make the right man bleed. Shorty's laugh was cold-blooded as he spoke so foul. Only 12 trying to tell me that he liked myself. And I rose, wiping the blunt's ass.